So before we really get into what we're kind of going to be talking about today, do you mind just running me through what Autism Ontario is all about and what your organization discusses and covers?
Sure. Autism Ontario is a nonprofit charitable organization that looks at supporting individuals with autism, their caregivers, and other stakeholders in Ontario. So we work a lot with providing events for families and children. We provide education and training for families, autistic individuals, educators, regulated health professionals such as speech pathologists, behavior analysts, occupational therapists, social workers, psychologists, psychotherapists. We also do a lot of the actual courses and programs for individuals with autism. So we have a full team that looks at individuals that are young adults and adults. And so we have different courses that would help them obtain employment, be successful in employment. As well, we have a CARES program for parents or caregivers of individuals with autism that really helps support them and looks at giving them the tools that they need to, interact with their individual better, their loved one. We also am a partner in the Independent Intake Organization for the Ontario Autism Program, the government-funded program. So we provide the care coordinators as one of the aspects of that IIO organization. We partner with research, we put out white papers, we advocate. So we advocate for changes in policy and law and funding for individuals with autism and for their families.
You definitely you cover all the bases, and I want to talk about one of them more specifically is the education piece, to the families and the general public. And I imagine that's why there was some extra concern in the statement you issued last week around the conversations that we're now having about claims that acetaminophen is linked to autism. Of course, your organization has come out and said that's just simply not true.
Correct. Autism Ontario bases what we do, what we teach, the information we put out, the resources we develop, it's based on evidence-based or evidence-informed information. So information that is scientifically accurate, that has been well researched, that we know that information in the end will assist individuals and their families, and not actually cause further stress. And I think the announcement that happened last week not only wasn't accurate in the message, in the science, but it also causes a lot of stress, anxiety, questions, and just leads to more turmoil for individuals, especially the mothers of individuals with autism or those individuals where autism is in the family and they may be pregnant right now or trying to get pregnant. So it is something that, was not helpful at all. For the community or for organizations like us, where we really try and espouse evidence-based practice and those things that we know will be helpful.
And I've spoken to a few mothers since this came out, who have children with autism, and one of their common concern there was that the blame here is being put on the mothers, and it seems throughout the history, the causes of autism, one of them referenced refrigerator moms in the 50s, and then it was the vaccines in the late 90s and early 2000s, and unfortunately that claim is coming back again, but that's a whole other conversation. There seems to be, a long history of what causes autism? Oh, it must be something the mother did.
Yeah, and that thinking about there being a cause of autism, it is so erroneous in light of the information that we have now. We know that there's not a single cause of autism. It's a very wide spectrum. The diagnosis covers many, many individuals with, really varied presentations. And we know it's a really complex neurodevelopmental disorder or difference with, numerous contributing factors. I listened last week to a neuroscientist actually say that there are over 1,000 genes implicated in autism. And so it's a pretty naive thinking to think that there's a single cause for autism when we know this already. We know that individuals have different disabilities, different co-occurring conditions, that some have, seizure disorders, some can have different deficits, some can have gut issues. So all of those things, really point to different mechanisms for resulting in autism.
So, where can people find the actual research and the data that backs up the evidence that shows, acetaminophen is still safe to take for pregnant women and actually the safest option as opposed to ibuprofen and other over-the-shelf options?
Correct. I think for the layperson, the best source of information is from your family physician, the pediatrician, your family physician. Those are the people that really we need to entrust with our health. They do understand how to read the studies. Studies aren't all, even though they're science, they're not all created equal. And so you can have studies that have a great number of limitations. And in fact, the one that was quoted by the Trump administration actually talked about the limitations of the study. And so you really want to know that you're looking at large studies, like the Swedish study that had over 2.4 million children involved in that study, where they didn't find any causal link at all to acetaminophen. And there's another study from Denmark. There's some studies from around the world that, when they're done well and they control variables, because there are very many reasons that, pregnant women may be taking Tylenol, and to just ignore the reasons may in fact confound the research. And so you really need studies that think about that and think about those confounds and then give you the results. And for families and for people, that would be your physicians. That would and that's what all of our that's in North America. The different organizations and associations that are physicians, neurologists, pediatricians, family physicians are all saying the same thing. As you just said, Grant, that acetaminophen is okay to take during pregnancy if you follow the advice of your physician. And it's certainly safer than having a high fever that we know can lead to neurodevelopmental disorders. It's also safer than ibuprofen that we also know has more, greater risks and greater side effects. So all of that we have known for a long time. And that is why I think everybody is speaking out right now, because not only was this information not accurate, it's not helpful. And it's not helpful for the families that are going through this and the families that actually have autism. And, and as you said, causing a lot of women again to question, did they cause this for their children? And the resounding answer is no, they did not.
The best route to take, of course, as you said, is to ask your doctor, ask the experts, the people who know this stuff. And then on the other side, you have a president of the most powerful country in the world saying one thing. I mean, how damaging could that misinformation be when it's spread out to the public? And some people will just accept it as fact because it is, the president of the United States saying that.
I mean, it can be very damaging. Damaging in the people that actually believe it and may then avoid using acetaminophen and actually then unintendedly causing harm to their unborn child. Because it's hard to figure out if you're a layperson who to listen to. It's also damaging in that we have spent a lot of money, and the we meaning this, science, the scientists, the researchers around the world have spent a lot of money in the last number of decades looking at what does and doesn't cause autism. And to continue to say we need more research, to continue to go down this road, we're spending money in the wrong place where we could be spending money to support individuals and their families that have autism. And to look at other things that we still don't have real good answers on. It kind of, for me, brings us back to the time of Andrew Wakefield and the MMR vaccines, right? Where that went worldwide very quickly. And for many, probably a couple decades later, really changed how people thought about vaccines and really changed what we thought about autism. And in the end, all the research we have about vaccines say the same thing. They're safe. You need them for protection. You're better off to take them than not. And so again, I think it's like we're going through all of that again, right? And now trying to convince people, no, science isn't This isn't something that, there is a conspiracy theory and scientists and researchers are, not doing their job as they were trained, and they're making money off this. That's not the case. And for families, hearing all of these different voices and all of these different messages and all the different sides just makes it more difficult for them to figure out what to do and to, as you said, figure out who do I listen to. And you're right, Trump is, President Trump is very powerful. His messages do speak to a lot of people. And I think that is why you're hearing and seeing such a wide public message against that, because we know the damage that can be done.
Is there anything else you feel like we should mention before I let you go that we haven't touched on?
I think really that, we know that autism exists on a spectrum, and each person will be different, and that we need to support them. The level of need may be different, but it doesn't mean it's less. We need to support all people. And I think the biggest message is to really think about who you're getting your information from and to go to those people that don't have a financial stake in it, a personal stake in this, or an emotional stake in something, to go to organizations and to people that are reputable, that are the experts and leaders in the field, that should be the ones that you trust. And even if you're hearing noise, even if there's other messages going on around you, really find those people that are calm and rational and can give you the information and can give you and cite the research behind what is being said.